Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sweet presence. As we go into the Word, we humble ourselves afresh. Under your mighty hand, I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here with us, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy. Be faithful that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring in out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer, in their own individual lives, all individually agreed and said, this morning we're going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been in this for some weeks, and it's worth every week talking about the love of God, the characteristics of divine love, which really are the characteristics of God. God doesn't have love. God is love. It's what he is. And like we said in previous lessons, God's always been this way. It's not something he acquired when he made man and he had to develop love to be able to deal with Satan. And because you can never understand love if you don't understand there are three persons of the Godhead. I said that many times. Incidentally, I've never heard anybody say that. Thinking back over the years, I've never heard anybody say that. But it's the truth. You know, because you see, love is not selfish. You cannot have self-love and be love. Love all is always relational with some other person. So he says, endure long and be patient and kind. And he has to be somebody who has to endure long and be patient and kind to. If it's not rude or unmannerly, he has to have somebody either to be rude or to be unmannerly to. So we find that the three persons of the Godhead have these characteristics. And they've always had them from eternity. And they've always exercised them with reference to each other. However, at the onset of creation, and the other thing we need to understand about creation is that creation wasn't just done. It was planned for. It was thought through, just like any engineer or architect. If you want to build a house, you have a plan. You draw it, you know. You make decisions about what the kind of materials you're going to put into it and what kind of I did physics, and I also did a little bit of it. I did electrical engineering, you know, and I know that for my BSc project, I actually built what's known as an oscillator. And I remember my supervisor telling me this phrase. He said, always, if you want a good product, you must do what is known as, they call it worst case design. Looking back now, that's what God did. It's called a worst case design. In other words, what will you, in a worst case situation, what components, I used to build electrical circuits, you know, Now, this oscillator I did for my bass is was an electrical circuit. So what transistors will you use? What resistors? What inductors, capacitors, all these things? And they must be able to withstand a worst case scenario. If the current or the voltage goes up, will it be able to withstand it, or will it blow up? What precautions will you put in to be able to absorb any unusual fluctuation? Maybe your thing is operating normally, is operating at 10 volts. I'm just using a hypothetical figure. But what if the voltage swings up to 50? What's going to happen to your equipment? Is it going to blow up? What are you going to do? So we always, if you're a good engineer, people like Engineer Adeshola and Okori and Famulusi will tell you this. You don't plan for normal conditions. You plan for worst conditions. That's where our people chop money. God forgive them. That's why buildings are collapsing in Lagos and all over the whole place, because they did not design worst case design. They designed for normal thing. But something has been there for 25 years, 50 years. The weather has changed. Everything has changed. Then you go and use inferior materials, which will stand, but they will not stand difficult situations. And so what happens is that when these difficult situations come up, because those materials, were not designed for them, they crumble. Whereas if you have somebody who builds a very good product, he's able to, withstand. But it costs money and time to be able to do a worst-case design. But when you want to cut costs because you want to give something to them upstairs, you then reduce the quality of the material. Deji's shaking his head. You lose. Yes, you reduce the quality of the materials, so you can, that's what's causing all the problem. But God didn't do that, thank God. So when God was going to make man, he made a worst case design. What's going to happen if they fall? What's going to happen if they disobey me? Now, they shouldn't disobey me. That's normal. But what if they do? Okay? So the second person of the Godhead, they have a meeting amongst themselves. And they say, okay, if they do that, this is going to be the solution. I will become a man. And I will leave my divine, my omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. And I will miniaturize myself so I'll be like them. And I'll go and pay the price. And if they now believe on me, then we can get them back. For those who disobey, at least those who accept our solution, we will take them back. Everybody say worst case design. Give the Lord a super clap offering. That's what he did. And then all the divine attributes that he's had from eternity kicked in, because we're not dealing with, like I've said it so many times in these teachings, and I'm going to keep saying it. The body of Christ is simply an extension of the Godhead. I'm going to talk about that in my main message today. It's really an extension of the Godhead. It's really God himself just extending himself. I said this before and I'm going to keep repeating it. We will never be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That's exclusively reserved for only the three persons of the Godhead. However, we can and we should have access to that omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. We won't have it intrinsic, but we will have access to it so that when we need a part of the omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, we will be able to tap into it and use it for whenever it's needed. But that, even that, is a great trust. Because if he gives it to you and you misuse it, you're going to create problems for him. But again, he did worst case design. Give the Lord another super clap offering. I don't know. I don't know where that worst case design. It just dropped into my heart as I was preaching. I didn't even have that thought when I was praying. You know, I just remembered my project now. My supervisor told me, you know, you must, he said, if you have any program, find out what's the worst case design. You know, and if you don't do a worst case design, you're not a good engineer. No, you're a terrible engineer. Because especially you're going to be risking the lives of people. Whether it's electrical engineering, whether it's in civil engineering, whether it's in mechanical engineering, because the things engineers build are used every day by people. And when you cross, you know, it's criminal. If I had my way, so unfortunately for them, Brother Shea, I don't have my way. I will make a decree. Any engineer, if your building collapses, not only will we remove your license, so you will never practice, not only in Nigeria, anywhere in the world. Not only that, we will lock you up and throw away the key forever. Until Jesus comes. The only thing that will save you, you can get saved in the jail, but you will die there and go to heaven. But we will not release you into society because you are as much a risk as an armed robber. People have died. People have died. But thank God, God is not like that. Let's give the Lord another super clap of. God is a very... And it was costly to do the worst case design. It was going to cost God the life and the blood of his son. But he went ahead and paid the price so he could have a worst case design. Hallelujah! So this God we're talking about, these are his characteristics. So I said, you know, we get the description of them in Galatians chapter 5 holistically. Then we get their operation in action in 1 Corinthians 13. In Galatians chapter 5, we see them as nouns. Love is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you now see it in operation, you know, in relationships. And God expects us, therefore, to love one another like the persons, I shared this with us last week, you know, looking at John chapter 17, say that the love that is in me, watch this, it's wonderful, Pastor G, that the love wherewith you have loved me, may be in them. Brethren, this is not even the love that you should have for your brother. That's still at the human creation level. At the divine level, the love that God showed to Jesus, the love that God exercises to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, is the same love that God has put inside you and I. So watch this. I can then love the Father the same way Jesus loves the Father. I can love the Holy Spirit the same way Jesus loves the Holy Spirit. I can love the Lord Jesus the same way the Father loves him. Then I can then extend it and love Pastor Gwega with the same love that I love Jesus. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. I just got a fax from heaven. He said, you know what the Holy Spirit just told me? He said, Missouri then didn't get what you said. Because it is awesome. It can only come by revelation. It's revelation. I know you heard the English words I said. I know you understood mentally what I said. I know that. But to understand it by revelation, I'll be talking about that in my main message, you know, and then to experience it is a completely different ballgame. You know, when you now begin to, you know, I said this in my last lessons, you know, you cannot imagine God the Father being rude to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says God is not rude unmannerly. You cannot imagine the Holy Spirit being envious of Jesus. Because all humanity, everybody's only talking about Jesus. If you ask the average Christian, who is God, says Jesus. Most Christians don't even know the Holy Spirit as a person or as God. You know, most people treat the Holy Spirit as an instrument. How would you feel if people just only talk about you because they can use you? Not because they love you or value you. That's how we treat the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't mind because, you know, he told me this years ago. He doesn't mind because he said it's deliberate because, you know, the revelation in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is there as a person, but it takes time to get to know him. But Jesus is the one who has center place and attraction. Now, can you imagine the Holy Spirit being jealous of Jesus? There's only you they always talk about. Everything in name of Jesus, name of Jesus. What of me now? What of name of Holy Spirit? It's inconceivable. You can't think like that because God's not like that. In fact, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit specializes in. Anything that happens, he gives the credit to Jesus. You know why? Jesus was the one who came to the earth. That's why it says, a great mystery is in Philippians chapter 2. You know? He said, who, though being equal with God, thank God for Paul. Let's give the Apostle Paul a super clap offering. These are some of the things he heard when he was caught up and said, it is not lawful for man to utter. But he came with a revelation and God allowed him to put it down. He says, who, though being, you see, until you understand that the Godhead is three persons, you can never understand these intricacies and details about the love of God. Who, though he was equal with God, he did not think equality with God was a thing to be held on to. In other words, he didn't say, because I'm equal with God, I will not become a man. He didn't hold on to it. But, you know, let's go there. Philippians, aha. Verse, you see, this is old English, robbery. But a better word is, he did not think it as something to demand. It was his right. But he didn't hold on to that right. Again, Pastor G, love does not insist on its own right or its own way. Can you see? You can begin to see these attributes of love in the relationships and yes, between the persons of the Godhead, especially when it came to the incarnation and the plan of redemption. And Philippians 2 here describes it with quite some detail and a lot of clarity. Who being in very nature did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't hold on to it. Next verse. But made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So this second person of the Godhead, he stripped himself, I say it like that, of his divine attributes. Omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Then he became limited like ordinary created men. Next verse. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, wait. You know, we read these things and we don't meditate on them. You only humble yourself in relationship with other people. There is no self-humility. You understand? So what did he do? What is humility? Is submitting, you know, to the will of God when you don't feel like it. You know, so he though he was God, he had now become a man. So he now submitted himself to the other two persons of the Godhead like ordinary men do. Another clap offering for the Lord Jesus. He humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death. Even that the most difficult thing he did when he was on earth was to agree to go to the cross at Gethsemane. Even all those 33 years, he knew that's what he came for. But when he faced it, because of two main things, or three. Number one, the physical pain, which was horrible. you know, crucifixion was horrible. But put that one aside. Number two, the shame. All those nice pictures you see in Dugbe. If you watch this movie, The Passion, you begin to get an idea of really what happened. And it was even worse than The Passion. He was stripped naked on that cross. They took all his clothes off. Beat him senseless. His back was bleeding. He had been beaten. You see, Pilate was trying to placate the Jews because he didn't want to kill Jesus. So he said, okay, don't worry. I will beat him. You know, the word in the King James is chastise. It's very light. They took a whip, you know, they wrap it, they pull it. So all his back was bleeding. You know, then the soldiers, to mock him in front of Herod, they put a crown of thorns on his head. So when they pressed it in, the thorns pierced all of his, you know, his forehead and the back of the head. So he was bleeding from, watch this, he was bleeding from here. He was bleeding from his back. Watch this. It was in that condition he carried the cross. When the Roman centurion, who was an expert at crucifying men, he saw that this man is going to faint and die before we get to Golgotha. He can't carry that cross. So he sees a black man. Black men have always suffered. He saw a black man whose skin was darker than the skin of the other people inside the crowd. This Simon of Cyrene, he was from Libya. So his complexion was darker than the other people. He said, hey, this one can carry the black man. Come, 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 come. Yeah. Now he didn't have a choice, you know, and gave him the cross. Because Jesus was bleeding so much, he wouldn't have made it to Golgotha. So Simon carried his cross. Jesus carried it for a short while. Then when this guy saw how weak he was, he now got Simon to carry the cross. So Simon now carried the cross all the way to Golgotha. At Golgotha, he's bleeding from his head. He's bleeding from his back. They now take this hand and put 2-pound nails on this side and this, and then his legs. So he's now bleeding in three places. Head, back, and legs. Jesus saw all of that in Gethsemane. So he said, Father, if it be possible. He told Peter, he took the three people who are very close to him, Peter, James, and John. He said, watch here while I go and pray yonder. Then he began to pray. He said, I know this is the plan, but you know, God, you are full of wisdom. I'm going to see that in my main message today. He said, God, you are full of this. I know all things are possible to you. If it be possible, if there is another master plan, another worst case design that we can take. He's talking with somebody with understanding. If there's another worst case, now I'm a man, I don't know. But you, still up there, maybe you and the Holy Spirit can figure something out that we can do so I can avoid this shameful and painful death. Please get it done. Nevertheless, give the Lord a clap offering. Woo! Glory to God. All this I'm talking about is true love. This is how love works. That's why he set the example for us. Nevertheless, if you can't get another way, I'll go. I don't want to go. I don't feel like going. But if that's it. And then he prayed for 3 hours with groanings and tongues. This was before he was arrested. So, when, of course, there was no other way, and he had to go, and then, you know, he was arrested and he was beaten. So on the cross, this is the third thing that made him shrink from it. Not only was he going to suffer and die physically, and, you know, be terrible suffering, horrible, shameful death. When he now died, He was going to go to hell, tormented by Lucifer and his gang, whom he had been a part of the company that kicked him out of heaven. You have to think about these things, folks. Jesus was God, you know. When Lucifer rebelled, and one third of the angels, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father, with the loyal angels, were the people that, well, you know, did the plan and all of that to kick Satan out of heaven. Now, he's not going to submit himself to that same rebel. Well, he goes through it. Those were the things he saw. You know? So he had anticipated them in Gethsemane. That's why he shrinked. He shrinked from that death, from the physical pain, the shame, and then the going to hell. I think of the three, that one was the worst of them. So when he finally dies on the cross, what he says to the Father, he says, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" They wrote it in, you know, with meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, because God had to forsake him for 3 days. As one who's lived in presence of God all through eternity before he became a man. Then when he now became a man, he always had the Holy Spirit with him. He's never had a second without the presence of God. Now he was going to have, you know, 3 days and three nights. But that's the price for the worst case design. Another clap offering for the Lord. So he agrees. So he dies and then he goes down to that place. He's there for 3 days and three nights. But thank God for David and Revelation. For thou will not leave my soul in hell. Neither shall thy suffer. Oh, give the Lord a super clap offering. I just got a text. The physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ saw death but did not see corruption. You know, medical guys will tell you, I was discussing with Dr. Williams yesterday, you know, there's a part of medical science that's called pathology. Pathology is the study of, you know, the physical body in the area of taking medications and things like that to see, you know, what leads to. You even have a department of pathology. Their specialty is death. No, there's pharmacology. I'm talking about pathology now. Pathology, you know, in anatomy, that's where they embalm dead bodies and things like that. So the point I'm making is this. In death, you know, the body, when somebody dies, the body does not begin to decay immediately. It's dead, and then the decay process sets off. The cells begin to die. They're already dead, you know, because one spirit goes out. But it takes a few days for corruption to set in. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ never saw corruption. Hallelujah! It was dead, but he never saw corruption. Before corruption could kick in. Hallelujah! God the Holy Spirit came from heaven and gave Zoe back into his spirit and then put it back into his body, raised that body from the dead and glorified it. So his body never saw corruption. A super clap offering for the Lord. So I was going to ask me, say, Pastor Olubi, how do you get off on all of that? We're talking about love. What does love have to do with the resurrection? Everything. It was love that led to the resurrection. It was love that led to the cross. It was love that led, you know, to our being partakers of the divine nature. It was all love. Love for the Father, love for the Holy Spirit, and love for you and I. Hallelujah. You can't understand Christianity if you don't understand love. and understand the workings of love amongst the three persons of the Godhead, and how, as I have described to you, it led to the agreement between the three of them. You know, that's why he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and then the execution of it about 2,000 years ago in Palestine. You can be seated. So these attributes of divine love are now listed in action, how they operate in action, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. This is probably one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, because it describes who God is. You see a little bit of it in the Old Testament, but here it is in with great clarity. The verse in the Old Testament that remotely compares to this, it's not exactly the same, but it is in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, where God is talking about himself. He said that, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. And let not the," in those days, you know, people used to be, you know, physically strong. "Let not the mighty man boast in his," you know, "his power." He said, "But he that boasts, let him boast that he knoweth," watch this, "and understandeth me." I remember my first year as a Christian, I went to buy Dick's Bible in a Scriptural Union shop on, I think it's Wigmore Street, somewhere in central London, somewhere in West, you know, West One. You know, it wasn't too far from my hostel. You know, I felt very proud that day that I'm really now a man of God. I had a Dick's. How many people had Dick's in those days? I had a Dick's Bible. You know, then I bought E.W. Kenyon books and all of that. I remember proudly putting my Dick's Bible under my, like, just carrying it to my host and saying, "Hey, now I'm a man of God." Praise the Lord. You know, and let's give Phineas Dick's a great clap offering. He's gone to me. God used him tremendously. Many of the great men of God, you know, particularly in the 60s and 70s, when he finished that book, it helped so many of us. I devoured that Gibbs Bible. And I remember reading from Dick's Bible that he said that this, Jeremiah chapter 9, is verse 23 and 24. He said, this is the heart of the Bible. I can never forget it. Because it described, "I am the Lord thy God that delighteth in loving kindness, in righteousness," and those three things summarize the character of God. But now, Paul expatiates on it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. This is the heart of the Bible. If you don't know this, you don't know God. And any other thing you have is useless. So you can speak in tongues, it doesn't matter. You can cast out devils, you can do miracles, it doesn't matter. If you do not understand, if you do not know and understand love, he says, every other thing, you can give your body to be burned. We went through all this in our last lessons. It will not profit you anything, because God is love. Are you listening to me? And so, here, Dick's, I have a Dick's. I have it on my computer Bible, on this, my iPad here. It's on eSword. I always advertise it. In my opinion, I didn't say God's opinion, I said my opinion. You know, I think eSword is the best Bible reading, electronic Bible study application. A lot of the others that are very childish, in my opinion. But I think I also have the Spirit of God. But let's leave it like that, you know. And then you can get, references. You know, and commentaries. And it has different commentaries. It has Matthew Henry's. Dick's is one of the recent commentaries that they added to it. So I bought it. So I'm now reading from the Dick's commentary of the Bible on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I think Dick's does a beautiful summary, so I'm going to use it. I've done this before. In other words, we've looked at all of these things. You know, we looked at them in the Amplified Bible, But I have to use this day as a summary, because I think we're going to finish this by the grace of God today. And if we don't finish it today, I'll extend it to next week. You cannot do too much on love. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly do this again. You know, the Amplified Bible says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is not envious, nor does it boil with jealousy. Love is not arrogant. It does not display itself haughtily. Oh, Jesus, help me. Yes. Let me go to the Amplified, and I'll come to the Dick summary in a minute. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor bold with jealousy. You know, I use the illustration. So can you imagine the Holy Spirit being jealous of Jesus? How ridiculous. Is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. Look at how great Jesus is, the second person of the Godhead, and all that he accomplished when he was on earth, you know, in terms of obedience to God, tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says, and we didn't finish reading it. It says, wherefore, because he did all of these things. He said, wherefore? That's the reason. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess to the glory of God the Father. Right. Now, you don't find Jesus coming to heaven and being arrogant because of all of that. Instead, you know what you find? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that after he has subdued everything to himself, he said, you know, he must sit at his right hand until he has made all his enemies his footstool. Then after he has done that, he said, with all of his qualifications and everything, and said, well, at least I'm equal with God. Let's all of us sit together, you know, and everything, so that everybody will know that we're all the three of us are equal. He, throughout eternity, is going to submit to God. He said, and this, that the Son himself might be subject unto him that subjected all things. Give the Lord Jesus another super clap offering. Talk about a good example. A great example. So, love does not display itself haughtily. It's not boastful or vainglorious, even though he has reason to. It's not conceited, arrogant. I'm reading from the Amplified. I'm going to read all of it, and I'll give you a summary of Dakes, of Finnis Dakes. It's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It's not rude. It is not unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. We've looked at that. God's love in us. This, you know, that's what the Amplified says. But the correct thing should actually be say, God, love, the love of God that is inside God. That he has now shared with us. You know, well, this is not wrong, it's just that that's deeper. Love, the love that God is, that he now shares with us. Because it's not just something that God put in us, it's what is inside God himself. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Does not insist on its own right or its own way. That's why Jesus did not insist on not going to the cross, even though he didn't feel like going. It is not self-seeking, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention. We looked at this last time. Like the soldiers who were crucifying him, God said, forgive them for they didn't know what they did. It does not pay attention to his suffering wrong. You know why? He understands God. Understands the root of evil and what makes men do what they do. The Bible says, you know, in John chapter 2, after Jesus did the first miracle in Cana of Galilee, then he now went to, there was a feast of Passover a few days later. Then he now, you know, healed the sick. He said, many have believed on him when they saw the miracles he did on the sick. He said, nevertheless, he said, Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man. You know, you and I should be like that. So when your husband says something they shouldn't say, or your wife says something they shouldn't say, or your friend, or your children, when they misbehave and, you know, carry on and do silly things, you begin to understand what is inside man. That is the sin nature, fundamentally, that's making them do that thing. When you have that understanding, then you don't pay attention to who suffered wrong. You know what you do? You remit their sin by the blood. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. You ask life for them. Then you pray for them in tongues to help them to overcome that sin nature. That way, you will never take anything personal. But when you don't understand that, you will take it personal. Now, I do know that over time, people can choose of their own free will to go in the way of rebellion, you know, and all of that. But usually that takes years and it takes time. So in the meantime, you believe the best and you don't pay attention to a suffered wrong. Of course, you deal with them with wisdom, because if they are still allowing the sin nature to dominate them, you conduct yourself in such a way, you know, so that you don't expose yourself to them as much as possible. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ doing this. You know, my wife has shared this here before, because I taught her, and she was now sharing the testimony with you. I told her many years ago, I said, your heart should have an outer court, a holy place, and a most holy place. Every human heart. There are people I do not allow into my most holy place. Never. Why? Not because I don't love them, but because they've not developed enough. If you let them in there, they can hurt you. So you need to know, when you're relating to people, you have to have at the back of your heart, with this understanding, that is this an outer court person? Is this a holy place person? Or is this a most holy place person? There are things I will tell most holy place people. I will never tell holy place people. And there are things I tell holy place people about myself, you know, my life and all of that, you know, that I will never tell an outer court people. Let's bring into Jesus' life. Jesus had the multitude. You know what he did for the multitude? I'll tell you, Pastor Rhoda. You know, he gave them bread and fish. He healed them. He blessed them. But he never told them any secrets. Go and check it. He says, and after he has sent the multitude away, watch this, he will now call the 12. Then he will now explain the deeper things, never to the multitude. I don't know if I'm going to get there today because the time is going, you know. You know why? If you give what is holy to dogs, they will turn again and they will rend you. It's just not wisdom. It's not a lack of love. It is actually a consequence of love. Because love discerns, you know, by wisdom, you know, what is, you know, I'm going to talk about that in my main message today. You know, love has a keen mind. So it can see. It has wisdom in it. So it knows what, you know, what a person can handle, what a person cannot handle. So you have people who are, you know, multitude people. So, you know what you do with multiple people? Give them bread and fish. Like, once some of our politicians, don't let me go there. You know, what are you going to chop? Eh? I don't need all this. Don't go there. You know? So, that's what you do for the multitude. You give them bread and fish. You heal them. You pray for their deliverance. They're happy. But you don't tell them the secrets of the kingdom. Then you have the holy place people, which I would call the 12, you know, and the 70. Those ones, you begin to tell them some deeper things. Then you have the most holy place people, like Peter, James, and John, in particular John. There are things Jesus told John he didn't tell the others. That's why you find that the gospel of John is different from the other three gospels. Watch this. It is only in John you find the details of Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. John 17 is John 17. You don't see it in Matthew. You don't see it in Luke. You don't see it in Mark. Because only John. Now, you see all the others record that he went to Gethsemane and that, you know, he prayed, you know, let this cup, you know, pass from me, you know, they say that. But they don't get all this other one we're preaching now, you know, that the love that is in me, be in them, the glory, only John. Now, in our relationships, We should be like that. You need to know, you know, the kind of person you can say some things to. Some people, you tell them something, they're going to be very offended and they're going to fight you. The Bible says so. He said, do not speak in the ears of a fool. He said, because he would despise the wisdom of your words. The Bible says, rebuke not a scorner. He said, lest you get yourself a blot. So when you understand, when you see that somebody is not, there's no point telling him anything. Just say, God will bless you. End of story. And go away. Because God will bless them. You know why? Pastor G, I just got a fax. Amen. You know why? God blesses both the good and the bad. So the bad person, you can say, God bless you. True. Wisdom. He allows his son to shine both on the good and evil. So even though you know he's evil and he's bad, you can still tell him, God bless you. And you're not being a hypocrite. Because God blesses the good and the bad. I've said this before. It just come to me now by revelation again. You know, it's just been flashed to me. You know, God blessed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. All the plagues in Egypt, none of them hit their houses. They had all that rebellion in their heart while they were in Egypt. They were instigating rebellion at the Red Sea. Were there no graves in Egypt? Now, you brothers here, God pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's divine nature. He knows them. He knew that it's a sin nature that is inside them that's making them say those things. And they're not doing anything about it. But today is not the day of their judgment. Because love endures long. Maybe they will change when they get into the wilderness. That's, they didn't change and judgment came later on. But God didn't say, Dathan, Korah, Abiram, you will not enter this Red Sea. You know, it was, if some of us who knew what is inside their house, this one is not going with us. Hello? That's how God's character is. That's the kind of person we're dealing with. He understands. The reason why he doesn't pay attention to his suffered wrong is he understands the sin nature in man and what makes men say and do the regrettable things that they say and do. So, doesn't pain him, you know. And he has this wisdom. He puts men in categories. So you got the multitude kind of men. You got the holy place, the 12 and the 70. Then you got the most holy place, the 3, you know, the 1 John. So if you do that, you won't be hurt. People can't hurt you emotionally. But I'm not even going to give you the material to hurt me. Because I will just give you God bless you. I will give you bread and fish. And if you need healing, I will heal you. Well, finish. You're happy. You know when you will really know what is what? And who is who? At the Bema seat of Christ. And then it'll be too late if you don't do something to change it. It is at the resurrection that our true spiritual worth will be shown. It will show a little bit in this life. To some degree. But the full thing will be at the resurrection. Then you will know those who really knew God. You will know those who are really close to God. Because the way those guys will shine, Pastor G. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hey! They will shine more than planets and galaxies. And then some people will just shine like an electric bulb. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Is that this one has no glory. By reason of the glory that excelleth. So live your life properly. And if you want to stay an outer court person, that's your business. It's your choice. If you want to move further, and the good news is that, you know, those positions can change. Somebody who was in the outer court can become a most holy place person by decision. And, you know, by changing over time. So that's why love does not insist on its own right. It pays no attention to suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love is never happy when his enemy falls. It doesn't rejoice. Like Saul, David did not rejoice at the death of Saul. Now, he knew it was coming. In fact, he said it. He said, they said, kill him. He said, no, I won't kill him. He's the Lord's anointed. He says, he will fall in battle. His day to die will come. So he knew he was going to become king, which was a good thing for David. But then he also remembered that Saul and Jonathan were his friends. They all slept in the same place together. They ate those meals together in the palace. He wasn't happy that Saul died. He knew it was inevitable because of God's judgment, but it wasn't something he reveled in. As much as God hates sin and hates what Lucifer has done. Don't forget, Lucifer was an angel. It was God who made him. He's going to punish him forever because of his horrible sin and rebellion and all of that. But even that, God doesn't rejoice at it. Go and check your Bible. The Bible says that he does not take joy in the punishment and the death of the sinner. I've become like that. It has to be. We have to pass judgment. We have to deal with them. But it doesn't give me pleasure. It's one of the reasons, Pastor Gene, watch this, that he made angels. See, there's some work God will not do himself. So he created an angel that can do it. And you see, some of those angels, they are created such that they don't have emotion. They're like spiritual robots. God made them like that. So that if God says, go and kill 185,000 Assyrians, the angel doesn't have compassion. He doesn't have all of that in him. All he knows is that thus said the Lord. So the reason why God made angels is so that they can execute judgment that God will not be, because of his person, he's not pleased to do. But it has to be done. I'll give you another word. It just came. Who killed Joab? Who killed Shimei? Not Solomon, but it was Solomon. He gave an order to Benaiah, and it was Solomon didn't dirty his hand by going to kill Shimei or kill Joab. But he gave, that's the reason why God made angels. So an angel drew a sword over Jerusalem. Then when David said, oh Lord, I'm the one these sheep, they have not done anything. And he says, he spoke to the angel, said, withdraw your sword. It's one of the reasons why God made angels. Because God doesn't take any pleasure in these things. He doesn't rejoice at injustice. You know, some people, the day your enemy falls into your hand, there will be. God's nature is not like that. Even though he does execute judgment. Are you listening to me? Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. He's ever ready to believe the best of every person. That means he's always ready to give chance and space and time for people to repent. Now, sometimes they don't take it. And his judgment still comes. You know, his punishment will come later on. But he always gives that chance. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. What God has planned, I can't finish today. I'm going to continue in my next lesson. Faithless under all circumstances, and it endures, that is love, everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, now go back to King James now. The Amplified doesn't get this one very right here. Okay. So, love, charity is just, you know, use charity. If you look at the New King James, I think that's better. Yes. It says, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, we're going to take this in our next lesson, for we know I thought I would get there today, but I didn't. But it doesn't matter. Everything we did was very, very important and was very, very necessary. Now, let me give you the summary of Phineas Jake. I'll just summarize it and then we'll close. He's doing a summary of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So God have mercy on me and help me. There we go. It says, Greek, agape, spontaneous divine love, is more eternal than gifts. It is eternal because God is love. Patience, love passive, no hurry, suffers long, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Kindness, love in action, never acts rashly or insolently, nor inconsistently, is not puffed up or proud. Generosity, love in competition, is never envious or jealous. Humility, love in hiding, no parade, no airs, works and then it retires, becomes self-efficient. That describes so accurately the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, but you don't see chapter 1, verse 1. Now, this book you're about to read is written by me, God the Holy Spirit. Not like that. It's there, but he's, you know. May God help us. Hallelujah. Amen. Courtesy, love in society, does not behave unseemly, always polite, at home with all classes, the rich and the poor, never rude, never discourteous, unselfishness, love in essence, never selfish, sour or bitter, seeks only the good of others, does not retaliate or seek revenge, good temper, love in disposition, never irritated, never resentful, righteousness, love in conduct, hates sin, never glad when others go wrong, always gladdened by the goodness of others, always slow to expose, always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always enduring. Number 9. This is Dick's summary. Sincerity, love in profession, never boastful and conceited, not a hypocrite, always honest, leaves no impression but what is strictly true, never self-assertive, does not blaze out in passionate anger, nor brood over wrongs, always just, joyful, truthful, knows how to be silent, full of trust, always present. Stand to your feet. We're going to take it from there in our next lesson. Let's give Dakes again another super. He's gone to heaven now. He died some years ago. You know, he spent years writing that book. It was a reference Bible. Years of research. You know, it's one of the most useful Bible study aids. I recommend it. Now, I know because regulation is continuous and progressive, not everything in it was 100% accurate. Now I know that 42 years later. But at the time I read it, you know, it was very useful for me. And by the time I had been a Christian for about 10, 15 years, you know, I still have it. I still have it in the church office. I have my Dick's Bible there, you know. I've retired it now, you know. I mean, we have more revelation and knowledge now. But I can never forget the foundations that we got from Dick's. Explain the spirit world. Explain so many things became clear just by reading the Dick's Bible, you know, for me, Olubi Johnson. You know, and I think for many other people, you know, and one other thing that helped me is that I prayed a lot in tongues. So even when I was reading Dakes, I was able to separate the fish from the bone, because not everything in Dakes that's correct or that's 100% that's very accurate, you know. But there's a lot of good in this summary of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is beautiful. Another clap offering for Finnish Dake. Hallelujah! It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I recommend it. If you don't have it, go and get Esau. It's free to download. Then you buy this resource. Maybe it's $10. Something. It's more than the money you use for biscuits. Praise the Lord. You know, if you can buy, you know, chin chin and biscuits and shawarma and suya and all of that, you can buy Dicks. You can buy Dicks. You know, buy the truth and sell it. No. Invest in what will profit you spiritually. There's nothing wrong in buying shawarma, but buy Dicks too. Amen. Buy Dicks before you buy shawarma. Or whatever else you eat. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ever let it be.
ever let it be that I will please you.
Ever let it be
that I will please you.
Never let it be
that I will turn away.
Oh, shake it, hallelujah.
Ever let it be.
Ever let it be
that I would love you.
Never let there be
any gods above
me.
Ever let it be.
Ever
Lord, let it be that I will sing your praise.
Ever let it be
that I will praise you.
Ever let it be
that I will please you.
Ever let it be
that I will turn away. Ever let it be.
Oh, hallelujah. Never let there be
any gods above.
Ever let it be,
Lord, let it be that I will sing your praise.
Always and forever.
Always and forever.
Oh, sing it, hallelujah.
Always and forever. Keep me working, working.
Sing it.
Always and forever lead.
I need you.
I need you day by day. Never let it be.
Never let it be.
Never let it be.
Lord,
ever let it be.
Never let it be.
Never let it be.
Heart, raise your other hand to me. Always and forever.
Always and forever.
What a song.
Always and forever. Keep
walking in your way.
Walking in your way.
Never, never, never let me go.
Never let me go.
Astray.
Astray.
Day. Oh, sing it to him.
Never let it be.
Never let it be.
Ever let it be.
Never let it be.
Ever let it be.
Raise that hand to God. Put the other one on your heart. We're going to pray in a minute. But before I pray, I want to give you a thought. It came into my heart while we're singing. And it's an extension of something I said while I was teaching. And it is this. Throughout eternity, God is going to have those three classes. The tabernacle was just a type of what God's going to do throughout eternity. There will always be outer court people. They will always be holy place people. And they will always be most holy place people. This truth is what is being suppressed by the church. And give us this silly impression that when we get to heaven, we're all going to be the same. That's a lie. The Bible says one star is going to differ from another star in glory. There will be people who will not have glorified bodies deliberately, out of court. They're born again and they go to heaven. They will be raised from the dead, but their bodies will not be glorified. So they can never make any trouble for the kingdom. They can't be trusted with glorified bodies. Then there will be those who will have glorified bodies, but the glory of their bodies will not be the same as the glory of the people who are in the most holy place. Who are the most holy place Christians? The ones that sit on the throne. It's not everybody. It's not everybody who's going to sit on the throne. Now, if everybody qualified, there's enough space on the throne for everybody. So it's not as if God just chose some special people. What he made was conditions. Now, if you fulfill the conditions, you will sit on the throne. If you don't fulfill the conditions, you will not. You will be in the kingdom. You know, you will be, you know, you will have things to do. Things will be assigned to you. Why? Because God protects his heart. After what Lucifer did, God makes sure that only the people who perfect love, who are exactly like him. That's why this song we sang is so important. Never let there be any gods above you. Keep me walking in your way. I need you day by day. It's a deep song because you see, it's the love of God that makes you like God. And if you will perfect the love of God, then you will have the same love inside you that the three persons of the Godhead, they can trust you with anything. They can trust you with the throne. They can trust you with divine secrets. They know you will not, like Lucifer, take what you have given them and then turn against him. In fact, in that time, there's no possibility of rebellion. Because all the checks and balances will have been put in place. The ones who have the potential of rebellion will not have glorified bodies. And every year, or maybe once or twice a year, I don't know, during the Feast of Tabernacles, they will take them to hell. They won't go to hell. They will just allow them to see what's going on there. So anytime any wrong... oh, yes. And there'll be those who are, you know, I've said it before. Jesus said it in a simple way when he was here. That, you know, the average person of his time could understand. There'll be those who are captain over 10 cities. Then he said 5 cities. Then those who had no cities. You know, that shows you different levels of the resurrection. You know, 10 cities are my main message today. Trust God will help me to get there. So there'll be those who will go from galaxy to galaxy. There'll be those who will be confined to a solar system. Can't go from. They can see it on television, but they can't go. You know? And there'll be those who'll be confined to planets, physical bodies. They'll be there. So when we say heaven, it's not just one place. That is, the heavens, even the heavens, cannot contain thee. All these ones we're seeing now, Jupiter, Mars, is all going to be renovated at the end of the millennium. Then they're going to be new heavens and new earth. I'll be talking about that in my main message today. You know, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there'll be the physical, there'll be the stellar heavens, there'll be the heavens where God is. It is only those who perfect this love that will be with God. Everybody will be with God, don't misunderstand. They will all see God and all that, but they won't be on the throne. And there are certain things they discuss in the government of God they will never hear. They will only see the effect. Why did I say all of that? To motivate you to walk in love. It goes beyond this life. If you don't perfect the love of God, you will not be trusted with certain things. And it's now that you are being tested. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your brother? How do you treat your children? How do you treat your pastor? How do you treat the guy in the office? How do you treat your servants? It's all being recorded. Like I shared some weeks ago, it's continuous assessment. First class is not, you don't just get it because you passed one exam. How many have you passed? What's your continuous assessment? Work on this love thing. Perfect it, because that is what God is. Let us pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I repent where I have not walked in love as I should. Where I have taken account of the evil done to me. Where I have been offended because of men's sins and the hardness of their hearts. We have not behaved like you. We have sought to retaliate, take revenge. We have sought to show off, parade myself, have a sense of entitlement because of some good I have done. Oh God, have mercy on me. I receive your mercy. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. I receive fresh life and power into my spirit as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I determine in my heart, and so receive mercy and grace to perfect the love of God in my heart, my will, my mind, my emotions, my body. So I will behave like you in every circumstance and in every situation. I will not be satisfied until in this lifetime, I have perfected the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. Nea shekiko kofre lombrika tofre lambregask lombrega glamatolomus tofre lombrika tolomus tofrenea into our wills, in and upon our wills, lambrika tofrenes our minds, lambrega toshka freding tolomus tofrenes our emotions, rika tofreding glamatolo fredo frenes our bodies, lombrika tolomus tofredo frenes Lombra Alambatushka, our circumstances, Libriki to Fridens, our regional heavenlies, Rena Tuska Freneska, insufficient measure, Reneke to Friding Lamashtofre, in this regard, in Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, stretch your hands towards me in faith. If you're physically present, if you are at home, stretch your hands towards your device. Father, we release the healing power that is in your word. For the Bible says, you sent your word and healed them. The scripture tells us, it says he cast out the spirit with his word. We cast out spirits of fear, spirits of doubt, spirits of oppression, spirits of depression, spirits of infirmity. Now, in Jesus' name, be thou made whole and be thou set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a lot of super clap off.